Let us now read from the New Testament, from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, the first three verses. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. And that's also our theme for this morning, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there, in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through, and that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. And here ends our scripture reading. May we sense God's presence as we seek to understand scripture this morning. Since the Second World War, this church of ours has been a beacon of light and a witness to God's presence for coming and going generations. Often I look with gratitude and with respect to the photos of my predecessors on the wall in Sponsler Hall. Since 1942, God's people struggled through times of scarcity and plenty, surviving devastating wars, anchoring, developing, and building not only for themselves, but also for our current generation. On our annual Stewardship Sunday, once in a year, we set time aside to draw attention to the financial needs, current realities, and challenge of keeping our church doors open for generations still to come. I want to tell you that even during this last week, we had two or three special meetings to discuss the future of our church with key leaders. I just invite them, come on over, we need to talk. The future is beckoning. We need to be there as God's people in this place during times like these 4 years still to come. In today's scripture, the Apostle Paul uses sports terms to demonstrate how to keep our eyes on the goal. Now, obviously, the Apostle was at least as much of a sports fan as some of us here in church today. Actually, well, there are devoted sports fans everywhere. We know that. For instance, in a park, in a packed stadium at a football game, there was something that seldom happened. A rare empty seat beside a certain woman. So she told the person on the other side, this seat was supposed to be my husband's. Oh, I'm sorry, he said. And then he asked, is there anyone else in the family who could use your husband's ticket today? Oh, no, she replied. They're all at his funeral. Ha! Now, most of us feel deeply about setting aside a part of our personal possessions for God's kingdom on earth. However, it remains a topic that we do not enjoy so much talking about. You know me, I've avoided any talk of finances every possible opportunity that I got during the past decade. But then on the other hand, I got others to do it for me. It's part of our deepest faith. It's part of our innermost convictions. Do you also have memories of how the previous generation taught you and me about stewardship for God's cause? Oswald Smith, famous missionary, said, "It's not how much of my money I will give to God, but how much of God's money will I keep for myself." And Billy Graham wrote, he said, "God has given us two hands, one to receive with and the other to give with. We are not cisterns made for hoarding, we are channels made for sharing." Now, personally, my earliest childhood memories include going to Sunday school every Sunday, faithfully, with a few pennies that my mother tied into my handkerchief. And I had to hold it in my pocket, and she taught me when the moment comes how to untie the knot and how to put the pennies in the plate. And my mother made sure that I understood the reason why. Because on one particular Sunday when she couldn't go to church, I stopped by the ice cream store on the way to church. Nowadays, we are realizing more and more that the most important issue is not church growth as such. It's all about church health. And we are trying to be faithful in this church in many different ways. To provide the education, to provide the inspiration, to build a community of faith that can stand every storm. We want people to discover this church, to say that's the place where you're always welcome, where you're never threatened. When stories of hell and damnation that we in any way cannot prove are never heard from this pulpit, we are shifting the emphasis to people building programs, setting them free in the name of Christ to be and to become who they really are. Loving, sacrificial, yes, there for one another. It's churches that grow warmer through fellowship, deeper by following the example of Jesus Christ, stronger through sincere worship, and broader through its focused ministry, and larger by bringing and inviting people into church. You know, a little bit of personal pride on behalf of all of us. I first smiled, I was a bit surprised, when I was sent a certificate by one of the newspapers stating that they had a vote amongst their readers and that Cocoa Beach Community Church was voted the best church. Well, I first smiled, but you can look in Sponsler Hall. It's now a plaque on the wall. Paul was fascinated with the Olympics. In his first letter to the Corinthians, he asked, Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? And then he advises his readers, run in such a way as to get the prize. So Paul's point is clear. If you are going to compete in the race of life, run to win. For Paul, lessons from the sporting world have much to say about the Christian world. Paul personally discovered the way to God in the life, sacrifice, and example of Jesus Christ. Intertwined with our life's journey is also what we call our spiritual journey. And our spiritual journey is the process of stumbling and struggling in an effort to discover our way to the heart of God. That's why we talk so much about God. That's why we believe with all our hearts, no matter what the world say. We know because we sense God's presence. I do so often and it makes me tremble. It makes me tremble. Do you sometimes sense that overwhelming presence of God that lifts you up out of the mud, that places your feet on a rock? The knowledge, I am never quite alone. Many search for truth, inner tranquility, understanding, and the meaning of this confusing world of ours. We look at the world, we try to look through the eyes of God. You know, faith really begins when you and I discover that God is more than a church. That God is more than a Sunday routine once a week. Finding peace and rest in God implies a spiritual transformation from the inside out. It's a real experience. It is more than just cliches or formulas. That begs the question, the very personal question, how are you doing? What do you feel inside this very morning? And I hesitate to ask the question, brother, sister, friend, is your personal relationship with God still important as it was maybe long ago? Your personal relationship with God still important for you this very moment? What is currently the focus of your life? What is your current purpose in life? Because you know, to be driven by a great purpose means that we get rid of anything in life that would keep us from achieving the goal that we have chosen. And here's the spiritual advice from the Apostle Paul. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that same old story again and again, item by item, that long litany of hostility that Jesus plowed through on our behalf. That's close to the core of the reason why we are here this morning. We cannot focus on the race until you and I get rid of the monkeys on our back, until we get rid of our selfishness and arrogance, our sloppiness and our pride. You cannot run a race looking over your shoulder. Unfinished business, regrets, grievances, hurt feelings are not helpful for the race of life. Get your eyes on the goal and get rid of anything that is slowing you down. And finally, the day came when the apostle says, "And now I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Paul found victory, joy, and peace. Paul had a profound sense of the God to whom he had committed his life. And now Paul had no remaining questions. It was as if he could already feel a gold medal on his chest. He sensed the laurel wreaths on his head. He could hear the cheers of those for whom he lived and served. In life and death, the Apostle Paul belonged to God. And so do I. So do you. Today, on this very special day, we can rejoice in a personal relationship with God in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a privilege. Glory divine. Amen.